Okay, well, let's bring another guest in to talk a little bit more about how you move forward then. Christian Codrington is a director with the Human Resources Management Association. It represents human resources professionals in British Columbia and Yukon. He's in New Westminster, BC. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
We're interested to hear what you think as you listen. We're focusing on two industries with strong hierarchical lines. Where else do you see this culture of fear to speak out to superiors?
Well, I think you're going to see anecdotal examples in a number of industries where they've been essentially protected, if you will, from market forces. And I think you've got a couple of examples in, say, physicians or pilots or perhaps even in educators, where systems actually help to contribute to some level of protection for those people that are engaging in the harassing, bullying, or inappropriate behavior. So you look at industries where they haven't been forced to change, they won't change, or it'll take a longer time for them to change. But on the optimistic side, I do see some very, very positive things happening throughout a variety of industries to stamp out these sort of more traditional inappropriate behaviors.
So, Christian Codrington, how do you identify fear in the workplace? If you look look for telltale signs, what are they?
Well, I think organizations can look for things like, as some of your guests have alluded to, people not prepared to speak up, perhaps saying yes to everything, or only sharing good news, lack of healthy debate, for example. Or when problems occur, people not taking accountability, looking to blame others, or just to essentially protect themselves. So those are all signs where people are looking to protect themselves out of fear rather than help the organization identify a situation to get better.
Trevor Dale, what are the consequences of that fear in the workplace on the individual?
Well, the consequences of fear on the junior is that if something goes wrong and they haven't spoken up, let's say, you know, they survive the crash or in healthcare, something happens to somebody else. You know, in other words, you're not in personal jeopardy. You're still going to have that potential damage to the second victim or the third victim, where they're going to eat themselves up. We have had cases of self-harm, suicide, even where people haven't intervened and they knew they should. Mm-hmm. I've certainly met people who've been in that state. But, you know, in the airline industry, what we did do, and I think it's slightly different, certainly over here, we fired at least six senior captains because they could not work with other people without bullying and harassing them. We got rid of them. And then the rest of them start to take notice. Hello, this is not being tolerated. And that's what healthcare needs to do. Over here, it's a big challenge in our National Health Service. It's very difficult to fire people. But that's what you've got to do. You've got to get rid of a few guys who just should not be allowed to go around intimidating people.
Okay, and how's Trevor Dale, so you know what has to be done, how receptive are the administrators to what you believe has to be done in healthcare in Britain then?
They're getting more so. It's definitely growing recognition that they've got to do something about it, because we've had several high-profile scandals where a lot of patients have been harmed through poor care or through places where people could have intervened to stop it. In some cases, it's been the managers have effectively, we talk about, you know, you promote what you tolerate. So if you let people get away with it, then really you're as guilty as anyone else. So management need to be strong and need to deal with it.
Christian Codrington, he's talking about that specific action. What are some other steps that can be implemented in redesigning a workplace culture so the hierarchy isn't oppressive or dangerous?
Well, I want to stress again the impact that management can have on contributing to this culture or breaking such culture. So just simply taking some action is critical. Continuing to solicit feedback from staff in a variety of ways. And, you know, we often hear about the traditional suggestion box. Let's move beyond that. Let's look to see how employees are brought into significant decision-making roles in organizations to influence outcomes, and how their actually inputs and their thoughts are solicited by management. So I think that continuing to encourage people to break their own fears, and some of these are self-imposed fears, I grant that. I mean, we're talking about residents wanting to keep their head down so as not to rock the boat. I'm not sure anybody in the organization has said that that's what they should be doing, but that's what they, that's the impact when an organization does not take take the inappropriate behavior seriously.
You know, Trevor was talking about how the aviation industry has, excuse me, I'm misspeaking here, the aviation industry has changed since the 70s and 80s. Christian, what role does social media play now, that of course didn't exist then, in helping to force a cultural change in the workplace?
Yeah, you know, I think social media moves information faster into a wider audience than ever before. And I think we can all think of examples in the last 5 to 10 years where certain customer or sort of employee behaviors were broadcast to customers. That pressure alone is significant for many organizations. The fact that what your employees do is under the microscope is going to increasingly force more and more organizations to look at how they're dealing with things in an expeditious manner.
Trevor, there are surely times and situations where people have to do what one leader says needs to be done because things are happening so quickly, and it, even if it goes against their better judgment. But how do you balance that out? Or maybe there aren't times like that. What do you think?
Well, it's a really tricky one. Yes, there are, of course, and you know, using case studies, trying to look at how other people have dealt with things. But I think what you've got to do first and foremost is encourage people to speak up. If they're wrong, they should still be thanked for their input. But it's one of these things. It's hindsight's no good if it's too late. If you're scraping bodies off the ground, it's an equally. You know, it's turning hindsight into foresight, I suppose, is what we're trying to do by learning the lessons that other people have, in some cases, paid a hard price for. But people should feel able to speak up at least and ditch the fear. Part of the problem is the old, the fight, flight, and freeze reaction. Sometimes not speaking up is triggered by the amygdala and triggered by the sort of primeval response, which we're all still subject to. Overcoming that, we can help. We've got tools to help with it, but quite a big thing. Quite a big thing to overcome your emotional reaction.
So that's what Andrew Link was referring to as well, this idea that you actually have to teach people as they get into the industry how to challenge and how not to be afraid to challenge, as well as work with people on hearing the challenge, right?
But challenged in a balanced way. You know, what you can get if you get it wrong, and we did do in aviation a while ago, is you make little dictators out of some of the new guys who don't have the experience really, so they think they should speak up at everything, and now they become an irritant. It's a really difficult balance to get to, and not something which you can do overnight. So you've got to challenge both ways. You've got to encourage people to speak up, but also give them a clue when to back off and to accept that somebody else might be right, even though they don't have the time to explain it all at that time in the dynamic situation. There's no easy answers. This is about being human and about dealing with quite complex situations. And we're going to get it wrong some of the time.
But you all seem to be saying that it really, without tackling this, there's just more trouble down the road. Trevor.
It could certainly be better. Yeah. It could be better than it is now. I think that's what we can say. We can make it better, there's no doubt.
But optimistically, I would also say that just the fact that we're engaging in a discussion like this, 5-6 years ago, we weren't talking about bullying in the workplace. Since 2009, most jurisdictions in Canada have legislation in place to help people deal with these types of things. So we're in a spot where we have not been, and we're moving in the right direction. And I think while there are still examples of problems, we're improving as a society at a pace where we have not had in previous 5-10 years.
Okay, well, gentlemen, we have to leave it there, and I think that's a good point to end on. I'm guessing that 20 years ago, the jobs you do didn't even exist. So thank you for talking to us today about what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Trevor Dale, former training captain with British Airways, now a consultant in the healthcare and aviation industries. He was in London, England. Christian Codrington is a director with the Human Resources Management Association. He's in New Westminster, BC. Now, what about you? Let us know if you work or have worked where you're afraid to speak up to your boss, to your colleagues. Tweet us at TheCurrentCBC. Use the hashtag ByDesignCBC. You can also email us directly from our website, cbc.ca/TheCurrent. And while you're there, check out some of the other segments we've had about design in the workplace, such as designing work without meetings and managers, and the design behind the office cubicle. That's at cbc.ca/TheCurrent. Click on Features and select By Design.